Good to see all of you out today. It's a holiday weekend. We have some people that are traveling and some that are traveling to be with us today. And we're glad that you're here. We want to pray for everybody's safety this weekend as they're on the roads traveling back and forth. I want to ask you this morning, are you a stepping stone or a stumbling block? It may be an odd question to ask, but it has to do with how we influence others around us. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but each and every one of us has an influence. As a matter of fact, we had an influence even before we were born. When our parents and grandparents first found out that we had an arrival date, let me tell you, you changed the world. Your parents and grandparents, they started making plans even before you were here. You've been an influence before you were born, and you are definitely an influence after you've been born. The question is, what kind of an influence are we on other people? I recall a commercial several years ago that featured a man and his son, a dad and his son. And this was an anti-smoking commercial. And you may remember it, but it goes a long way back. And so the dad was going through and walking, and his son was there by his side. The dad reached down and picked up a stone and threw it into the water. And the son, he reached down and picked up a stone, too, and he threw it just like his dad. And two or three other things that the dad did, and the son mimicked him exactly the way the dad did. And then the dad sat down on a bench, and he pulled out a pack of cigarettes, and he took one out and put it in his mouth and started to light it. And he laid the cigarette pack down by his side, and sure enough, here comes that little boy's hand as he reaches for the cigarette pack. The commercial ends as the dad puts his hand on his boy's hand, and he realizes that he is an influence for his son. The whole point of the commercial is, be careful who you are because eyes are watching you. You are an influence on others. So as we begin this morning, I want you to turn to Luke 17, verses 1 and 2, as we read that together. And I want us to ask that question, are we stepping stones or stumbling blocks for others that are around us? Here we find the words of Jesus as he says, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." Now that word offenses in my margin, and maybe in yours as well, says stumbling blocks. It is impossible that no offenses or stumbling blocks should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend, or that is, to cause one of the little ones here to stumble. So the question we have is, are we stepping stones or stumbling blocks? I don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone. If you recall one of the first sermons that I preached here, I mentioned that I have three goals. I don't know if you remember them, but I'm going to go over them again very quickly. My number one goal, I'm going to heaven. I hope that it is your goal as well. I want to do everything within my power to tap into what God has promised and to have that assurance of eternal life. Number two, I want to take as many people with me as possible. I want to be a good, positive influence on others around me so that as I do business in our community, as I walk out into my neighborhood, as I'm with anyone in life, they will be drawn to God more because of my life, instead of being repelled. And that comes to number three, which is I don't want to be a stumbling block or a hindrance to anyone's spiritual journey. And I say spiritual journey because we're all on different parts of the path as we come to understand who God is. Not that there are different answers about who God is, but our understanding, it changes over time from a child and from someone who doesn't know till later on when we do know. So those are the three goals that I have. Now here's a question for you about the difference that we make. Here's a blue ribbon. Who I am makes a difference. I came across this illustration a few years back. It's still a great illustration, even though you may have heard it before. But several years ago, there was a teacher, and she went into her high school class of seniors, and she began to call each one up to the front. And as the seniors all came up to the front, she took a ribbon like this, "Who I am makes a difference," and she pinned it on their shirt. And she told each one of these young people exactly how they had made a difference in her life as a teacher. Don't you know that made them feel good? To know that the teacher recognized something about me and said something positive about me? She did that with everybody in the class, and she let them know that who they are makes a difference. And then she took out three additional ribbons for each one, and she said, "Now, class, we're going to have an experiment. I want you to think of someone who has made a difference in your life. And I want you to go to them and you tell them how they have changed your life, how they've impacted you for the positive, and you pin one of the ribbons on them. And then you give the other two to them and have them do the same thing." Well, not everybody in the class took that up, but one young man did. He went out and he found a person that he had interned with a little bit over the summer. He was a junior executive in a company, and he had really influenced him to go into that part of business. And so he went and he saw him in that office and he said, listen, I just really want to tell you how great my life looks now because of you. You've helped clarify what I want to be in life. I want to give you this ribbon. And so he explained it to him, and the junior executive, he was so thrilled to have it. And then he had two additional ribbons given to him, and he said, you go find someone who's influenced you. Well, the junior executive thought for a while, and he thought, well, I think I'm going to go give it to my boss. Now, his boss wasn't the kindest person. He was hard to get to know. He was kind of gruff. I know we don't know anybody that's like that in life, you know. But here he was, and he went in, and he's kind of sheepish, and he knocks on the door, and he goes in, and his boss is all business all the time. And he says, listen, I just want to share something with you. This happened to me today, and I want to share it with you as well. You've been a great influence in my life. I know people don't always understand you, but I want you to know that your vision for this company is great. And you're a creative genius, and I want to give you this. It says, who I am makes a difference. Well, the gruff boss kind of melted a little bit, and he took that ribbon, and then he also was given the last ribbon to give to somebody else. All the way home, he was thinking, who can I give this to? And he didn't know. And later, as he's sitting in his recliner and reading the paper, he begins to think about his 14-year-old son. And he begins to feel pretty guilty because, you see, he's an executive. He's busy. He's not always there to do things. So he calls his son in, and he begins to tell him, he says, you know, son, I'm sorry. I've not always been around for you as I should. I've missed some ball games, and I'm not always here when you're awake. But I want you to know that besides your mom, you're the most important person in my life, and I love you. And I want to give you this ribbon that says who I am makes a difference. Well, the boy just started uncontrollably crying and crying to where he just couldn't even speak. And the dad said, what's wrong, son? What's wrong? And he reached over to a drawer, and he pulled that drawer out. And he reached in, and there was a pistol there. And he said, Dad, I've been thinking about committing suicide because I didn't think that you cared. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. What kind of a person am I to influence other people? You can find that story, and there's a foundation as well online talking about who I am makes a difference. You see, one for you and then one each for three others. That's how this was going. And as this story is out there, the whole question is for us this morning is, are we a stepping stone or are we a stumbling block? Are we somebody that prevents others from getting what they need in life as far as acknowledging and accomplishing things, or are we the type of person that can help? So here are some very basic illustrations here about a stumbling block. We come to these, and I can't get around them. A stumbling block is there in our way. We're going to talk about the word in a minute, scandalon, and what that means. But a stumbling block would be something that prevents something good from happening. However, a stepping stone would be one that would help us to accomplish things. Now, I've crossed a lot of creeks in my life. Well, not a lot, but I've crossed several creeks in my life and some other wet spots. And I tell you what, when there's a stepping stone, that's good. I've gone around a lot of muddy driveways and other things. If I find a stepping stone, that's a good thing. I don't want something, though, that blocks my way. So let's look at this word now for scandalon, which is the word for the stumbling block. It says it's a trap or stumbling block. The part of the trap that holds the bait and entices the victim. The part of the trap that holds the bait and entices the victim. All right, now everybody knows about a mouse trap, right? How many people in here have ever set a mouse trap with cheese? Okay. How many people think peanut butter is better than cheese? Okay, all right. You've got a lot more experience than you should have. You should call a professional and have them come and take that, right? Well, you know those proverbs that we have. And you know, one of the proverbs is the early bird gets the what? The worm, right? But the second mouse gets the what? The cheese. That's right. You've heard that as well. Listen, the scandalon is the part of the trap that holds that bait that's enticing. So if we thought about a mouse trap, the scandalon would be that part where the cheese is. That's the bait that comes in. Without the cheese or the peanut butter, you see, the mouse looks at the trap. There's nothing that's enticing about that contraption. But you put that's attractive to a mouse in there, and that mouse will be curious and come, and before long, snap, and that mouse is gone. I don't want to be the type of person that's going to cause somebody to have an offense or to stumble to bring a hindrance to others. There's another word here as well, and that's the proskauma, which means to stumble or to strike against. Both of these words are used in the same types of settings as we go through. So let's look at a comparison of these two. We've already gone to Luke 17, and remember what Jesus said there. It's impossible that there be no offenses or stumbling blocks, but he says, woe to him through whom they do come. So let's look at a few of these as they come out. A stepping stone is going to be one who encourages and one who loves, one who is going to rejoice with you, one who is going to push others up. A stepping stone is going to be somebody who forgives and reconciles and works through things because this is what we should be doing. It's going to be a person also who is going to provide protection from danger and temptation. You might think in terms of a mentor or even a parent or someone else in a position of authority to help someone as a stepping stone. A stepping stone is one who also pushes a person towards a goal and helps them to accomplish that. I think of all those patient, wonderful patient teachers that sat with us as we were going through grade school and high school and college or graduate school, and how they were all trying to push us towards a goal, help us to learn certain things so that we could show that we had accomplished that in life. A stepping stone is also someone who will help us to clarify truth. That's the kind of person that I think God wants us to be. On the other hand, we've got the stumbling blocks. And stumbling blocks are a little different. Well, actually, they're a lot different. They're opposite these. So if you look at this, a stumbling block will be one who criticizes and one who withholds love instead of offers love to others. A stumbling block will often be jealous of others. Instead of rejoicing with your accomplishment, they'll be jealous of you, and it'll cause them to harden against you even more. A stumbling block will be one who holds others down, doesn't allow those good things to come out because it might reflect poorly on them. A stumbling block also holds grudges instead of forgives, and they set additional conditions. Remember, we talked about forgiveness a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how some people have more conditions on forgiveness than God himself. Where does this come from? It's not from the helpful stepping stone side, but it's from the stumbling block side. A stumbling block person will also be the type that sets traps and watches for mistakes. A couple of places where I've preached, we've had a good sister or two who would always phone the church office at 1 minute after opening time and 1 minute before closing time, just to make sure somebody was at the office, you know, just to make sure that somebody's there. She would invent some way, some reason to call and stuff, but it was just her mission in life to make sure that everybody was in place at the right time. Well, that's the type of person that's going to be looking for mistakes, looking for opportunities for people to prevent reaching their goals. So between the two of these, which would you rather be? And let me back up and ask you the question a little bit more personal. If it was you walking with your son or daughter, and they were mimicking everything in your life, do you think they would turn out to be more of a stepping stone or a stumbling block for others? Have you ever wondered, and in this culture that we're in, I know that it's on our minds, but all of these people that hate the police and hate the rule of law, it disgusts me to hear the stories. But over and over and over, I see these things unfolding. How do you think people learn, and they learn it, they're not born with this hatred, but how do you think they learn to hate the rule of law and to hate and disrespect those people that are in authority? They learn that through the environment that they're in. They learn that through their friends. They learn that through their family. They learn that through the people that are around them all the time. They're not born going against those people in authority, but they learn it and they become some people then that are not the positive types in life. You are the most important person in somebody's life. You say, well, preacher, not me because I'm just, I'm a nobody. Listen, you are the most important person in somebody's life. It might be your child, it might be your spouse, it might be your parent, but you become the most important person in somebody's life. And let me also add to this, their decision for spiritual matters may rely on what they see in you. My third goal, I don't want to ever be a stumbling block or a hindrance to anyone's spiritual journey. I want to be a stepping stone. So let's look at a few of these now. Don't be a stumbling block. The first passage we've already looked at here, Luke 17, verses 1 and 2, and so we'll not go through that again. But let's look over to 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at a couple of verses here, but in particular, verse 10. Now, Jesus encourages us to love one another. Over in the Gospel of John, he says, others will know us by the love that we have. And in this section, John's talking about love. And for example, in verse 4, he says, he who says, I know him, that is Jesus, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And these contrasts are all throughout this. But look at what happens in here about verse 9. And he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He's contrasting light as goodness and righteousness and darkness as the evil and unrighteousness in life. So if a person says, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, but doesn't keep his commandments, that's inconsistent. He's a liar. The truth is not in him. He's not following Jesus. In verse 9, if a man says he's in the light, that is, that he's following Jesus, but he hates his brother, then he is in darkness until now. But he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So there's our word stumbling. Now turn a page over to the right, over to 1 John chapter 4, and notice what he says in verses 20 and 21 as regarding our love for our brother. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Now, I love it when the Bible says must. Now, I understand some translations don't always bring that through, but when I hear and read the word must, it captures my attention. This is something I need to pay attention to. Now, look at this. People will always take the bait. People are always going to be subject to falling into traps, but you don't have to be the person setting the trap or being a part of it. There will also always be people that are enticed away by what the world offers, by the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, whatever it is out there that we're going to be against because we want to be sober-minded and faithful to our spouses and faithful to God. There will always be people that are drawing others back into the world, but we don't have to be a part of that. There will always be people who are trying to hold back and to prevent people from reaching their goals, but we don't need to be that type of person. We need to love one another. We need to be the type of stepping stones that God needs us to be. So don't be a stumbling block, and let's go over to John chapter 6. I love the Gospel of John. It is the gospel of belief. We'll have a lesson in a few weeks talking about how John is structured to help those that do not know God to know God. In John chapter 6, what we have here, we've got the feeding of the 5,000 at the beginning of this chapter, and then Jesus begins to go into these other dialogues. Now, everybody wants the free meal, and everybody wants the healing. And what we have, the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that's listed in all four Gospels. And as you look at each of these four accounts, you see slightly different details. You put them all together, and what you find is that Jesus is very tired. He's weary. He's looking for a place to go to rest, but the people will not leave him alone. They follow him in these masses. And so he goes up on this hillside, and all of these people are there, and all day long, they are bringing people to him to heal, and he heals them all. He's also teaching, and now he challenges his followers, his disciples, how are we going to feed all these people? Now, you know that story. So he's fed them physically. He's healed them physically. Now he's teaching them about spiritual matters, and it gets a little difficult. And so what happens here is that this doctrine that they're hearing is beginning to discourage some. Let's look at verses 60 and 61. He's been talking about the fact that they need to partake of him and his flesh and his blood. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard or difficult saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus himself knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Sometimes hard doctrine is difficult for us to communicate, and to communicate in the proper way. Some people may want to challenge us right away on things that we have as differences between us, instead of first to form a bond and a relationship based on the things that we have in common. But when we come to the difficult passages and difficult doctrines, we'll find many people who will say, well, I just don't choose to believe that part of the Bible. It's been no different throughout all the ages. People have turned against God because they choose not to follow in these things. Doctrine may be that. And some will see their faith also become weak because of the difficult doctrines that they have. Don't be a stumbling block to others. Now let's go on to this next passage because I've got a few that I need to get to before we end. Luke 17, 1 and 2, here again, don't cause others to stumble. And Mark chapter 9 and verse 42 is very similar to that. But let's look at that passage as well, just that one verse, and see the consistency. A totally different setting here. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. We don't need to choose to cause others to stumble. Don't be the trap. Don't be the person that bursts the balloon. Don't be the person that lets out the secret that crushes some child's vision of whatever's going on in their childhood. Don't be the person that's the spoiler for all these things just out of meanness or because you can. Don't be that type of person. There are people that are very fragile in their spiritual faith. And by fragile, I mean that they've not yet developed a solid foundation on which to build their lifetime of devotion and worship to God. I want us to understand that in the Bible, when we become Christians, the process is talked about dying and being born. We're referred to as infants or babes in Christ. We've been born again, and so we've left our old life, and now we are infants. We are growing. We are learning. And we are very impressionable, just as your children were when they were first born. We would not expect a child of 6 months of age to be able to open a Dr. Pepper or even to drink a Dr. Pepper because their hands are not coordinated for that. Their system's not able to drink that, although I like Dr. Pepper personally, and I look forward to the day that they can open a Dr. Pepper and maybe bring it to me, you know, while I'm in my recliner. But hey, listen, they're not ready for that yet. There are a lot of people, spiritually speaking, that are not ready yet for many of the things that may be out in that family setting or may be out in that other setting. Don't be the stumbling block to their faith. Don't be the person that spoils their vision of what God's family is and what it can be in their life. Don't be the stumbling block. Be the stepping stone. Now, let's look at a few others here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Some are going to stumble because of the gospel. You remember Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I know you do. For the power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the salvation of the Jews first and also the Greek. That's Paul talking there, talking about the fact that the gospel is where the power of God is to save mankind. Now, this section in 1 Corinthians chapter 18, the gospel itself is going to be a cause of stumbling for some people. It's going to be a cause for stumbling for some people. Let's read this, 18 through 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, there are people today that dispute all of Genesis chapters 1 through 11. They throw out and discount the creation account. They throw out the account of Noah and the flood. They throw all of this out. They said none of that actually happened. I believe all of it actually happened. As a matter of fact, as I read throughout the Bible, I see that other things that happen in the Bible go back to those chapters. And so that's a part of my faith. I see all of that as inclusive in what actually happened. But people will say, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to believe in the days of creation. I don't want to believe in a worldwide flood. I don't want to believe in Jonah. Listen, the foolishness of preaching. God knows that the world is going to look at this whole scheme of redemption and it's going to say, that doesn't make sense. Why would a man come to earth as God and then sacrifice himself for the sins of people who hated him and who were turning on him and who wanted him dead in the first place? That doesn't make sense. And it doesn't unless you start to understand that God loves us and that this is his ultimate way of showing his love for us. Let's continue on verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a, what, stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, we preach Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Some are going to stumble at the gospel. They're going to say, that's foolish. I don't want to even think about it. You mean I have to go and put on different clothes and go under the water? Why, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Naaman thought it was pretty silly to have to go on the Jordan River, too. You remember that story. And he had some people to convince him to do otherwise. Let's turn a couple of pages over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and let's look at verse 9 there. This is in a great section talking about our conscience and the liberties that we have. And notice what he says here. Paul says, beware lest somehow this liberty, that's freedom, this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. In other words, here's somebody who has the right to do something, but because they're going to do it, it's going to cause someone else's faith to be damaged. They're going to be damaged. They're going to stumble because of what this person is doing. So don't allow your liberty to be a cause for stumbling for someone else. Now back into the book of Romans, just back to our left here a little ways, Romans chapter 14, and let's look at verse 13 to begin. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but resolve rather this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, you might notice a trend here of all these terms of stumbling block coming out. I want you to understand what God's view is of those who become the trap, the bait that causes people to fall and to stumble. Let's go on here in verse 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. You see, they've been struggling over, can we eat meat offered to idols? Can we do other things? There's an issue of liberty there, but people were having their faith damaged because of people exercising their freedom to do these things. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the one who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So here again, we have an issue of liberties. It is our liberty to do this, but by doing it, we have a knowledge that our brother will be stumbling spiritually and will have a weaker faith because of what we do. Why would anyone want to be so selfish as to say, I have a right to do this, and not be aware of the damage that it does to others around them? God says don't be a stumbling block. Now, we're in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, and we're just about through. So I know that you're looking at these things saying, all right, we've been through a lot of passages. Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 19, and let's look at just a couple of verses here. Chapter 18 is where you get into some of the sexual issues there. For example, over in verse 22 and following, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. There's one passage in the Bible for those who are into the same-sex marriage saying, Jesus never said a thing about it. Well, God sure did. And more people need to stand for what God says, not only on the issue of homosexuals or same-sex marriage, but I believe godly people need to stand more as well on the faithfulness to our spouses and the fact that we ought not to have relations with people before marriage and all the other things that are listed in the Bible, not just the focus on the same-sex issues, but that also must be included. Notice what it says here. Let's look at verse 12. You shall not swear by my name falsely. You shall not profane the name of your Lord, of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear the Lord your God, or your God. I am the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody seeing a blind person walking down and say, hey, look at this, look at this, and take something and throw it in the way of a blind person? What'd you say? That's mean, isn't it? That's heartless, isn't it? There's no value. There's no redemptive value in that. God says, don't do these things. Be a stepping stone. Don't be a stumbling block. In the Revelation now, the last passage that we're going to look at, we're going to look at one of the churches, seven churches of Asia here. Let's look at what he says here to the church at Pergamos. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Now, there are people today who want to change things in the churches. We came from Nashville. There are several churches up there who have changed their doctrinal positions on things. One church has allowed women to stand and to preach in their pulpits. Two or three churches have allowed instruments of music to come in. Several of the churches have changed their positions on membership in the Lord's church and on several other things. They didn't get this from the Bible. They got this from culture. They got this from the influences of others coming in saying this is what we need to do, not to follow what God says in the Bible. I pray for those brothers and sisters. I pray for them to come back and to see what the truth of the Bible is. But notice here that even back in the first days of the church, this was still a problem. He goes on here in verse 15. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. He says, repent. Or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Friends, what we do in life matters. You are the most important person in somebody's life today. So others are watching you just like your child did when they were watching your steps, mimicking you as you're going through, throwing rocks in the water or whatever else you're doing. I want you to be the type of person that can look back on your life and know that you have been a constructive, positive influence on those who look up to you. I want us, friends, to know that we have a choice. And I want to be the type of person that God can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Look at all of these others who have been brought to me because of your light that shone so brightly. Friends, this morning we have a song of encouragement that's been selected. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, either to put on your Lord in baptism as you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, determining in your heart to change and to turn from those things that are sinful and instead to follow after the things of righteousness which God wants you to do. We would love to see you come and put on Christ this morning. And if you're here this morning and there's something against you and God in this relationship, maybe you've begun to realize that the things that you've been doing or saying isn't consistent with what God wants you to be. I want you to know that nobody needs to leave this place today with a damaged relationship with God. Let us pray with you, publicly or privately, or you pray yourself. You determine to change those things, and you repair that relationship with God. I want you to determine today to be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block for others. Won't you come now while we stand?